You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound. We're less than 2 weeks away from our first Browns preseason game. Be sure to tune into News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns. Watch every Browns preseason game this season. It's also where you can see the Dog Pound Report featuring myself, of course, the great Matt Wilhelm.
Me?
You.
Yes. Watch it.
Watch it every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on News Channel 5. That's where you get the Dog Pound Report and, of course, the preseason games less than 2 weeks away. God,
that's
I love hearing that. It is crazy, and it is also awesome.
It is.
All right, we're going to bring in our producer now. We're going to go around the NFL. Eric Williams joining us now. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
We're excited to go around the league.
Awesome. You know what? Let's go around the league and start with number one.
Number one.
All right, so Russell Wilson's contract. Good deal or bad deal? Would you have paid him that kind of money?
I'm going to go with a bad deal. I would not have paid him that kind of money, but I could understand why a team would. He has probably, in that window of five-year extension, he probably has three more great years with the nucleus of that football team being in their prime, making a significant amount of money. And what's crazy, even more so, just reading an article on Pro Football Talk, is that 10 players on the Seattle Seahawks team make $100 million, and the other 43 make up the other, what, $50, $60 million in salary, which is crazy. So $100 million in 10 players. But so I would not have paid him personally, but I think having gone to two NFC championships and securing one Super Bowl victory, he deserves it.
I don't necessarily think he's worth what he got paid
right
outside of Seattle, but to Seattle he is, because you just can't let a franchise quarterback go away. And clearly for them and their system, you'd have to say he is very much a franchise quarterback. He's won one Super Bowl, was one play away from winning a second straight. So they had to pay him. I don't think they have a choice. And that's why they did it. But is that somebody, is that who I'd want? No, but it's okay.
Number two.
All right, guys. So number two, what is the one injury in the first weekend of NFL training camps that has hurt their respective team the most?
I'm going to look at an AFC North opponent of the Cleveland Browns and go with Matt Elam of the Baltimore Ravens. He is an underperforming first-round pick for the Baltimore Ravens, but was reaping the benefit of rave reviews by Ozzie Newsome and John Harbaugh there in Baltimore, and just said that they're not very excited and that he was coming into his own in his third year. So I look to the fact that he is opponent of the Cleveland Browns, and there's a strong possibility that he'll miss the entire season. So the less healthy Ravens, the better for the Browns.
That's a very good one as well. I hear you on that one. And I'm going to go with Kansas City Chiefs, Dontari Poe, that injury, which I think could pave the way perhaps for a trade with the Cleveland Browns from the defensive line. But that's a big loss for them. Their best defensive player up front. That's a big loss for those guys. So those would be the two.
Number three.
All right. So Deflategate. Who are you believing this week? If you are Belichick, who's getting more first-team reps, Jimmy Garoppolo or Tom Brady?
Who am I believing this week? I'm not even reading it anymore. I'm over Deflategate. I'm over what happens to Roger Goodell. Is he going to lose power? Is Brady actually going to have to serve those four games? Is it going to go to court? And what court is it going to be in? What state's going to see? I'm over all of it, okay? Because they're not on the Browns schedule first and foremost. But they are an AFC opponent, and so it's irrelevant to me. And then, if you had to have me twist my arm, I would go 50-50 on reps right now because of the uncertainty of what's going to happen to this case or potential suspension of Tom Brady, the fact that you want to keep him fresh, you want to have him alive in the offense, but you must also have the backup plan in place with Jimmy Garoppolo, building continuity with those wide receivers, with that offensive line, and very comfortable and have command of that first-team offense.
You got to, if right now it's staying at four games, you know, you got to keep Tom Brady fresh, but you've got to get Jimmy Garoppolo ready to play week number one. And so I think right now you believe in Tom Brady and his ability to stay fresh. So I would go ahead and get Garoppolo as many reps as possible until I felt comfortable with him, the team felt comfortable with him. Now, the other thing you can do is keep giving Brady, you know, say split the first team reps 50-50, but have guys like Gronk and Edelman take some of those second team reps with Garoppolo so that he can get his timing down with those guys.
Number four.
All right, and last but not least, Jamaal Charles made some bold comments, to say the least, this weekend. He said that he feels like the LeBron James of the NFL. Who do you think is the LeBron James of the NFL?
That's tough. And I think in some cases, with as much as Jamaal Charles does for the Kansas City Chiefs, both in and out of the backfield, he may be that guy. Another few names that come to mind would be Shady McCoy. Now with the Buffalo Bills, after you know what he has done in his career in Philadelphia. I think DeMarco Murray, now a Philadelphia Eagle, after a great year, an MVP type of year in Dallas last year. Those are a couple names, and I think I'd have to go with running backs because they're both a threat, you know, with the ball in their hands and potentially out of the backfield in space. Whereas a wide receiver can not be thrown the football and only has an opportunity to receive it if it's thrown to him.
All right, so I'm gonna go with the LeBron James of the NFL being J.J. Watt.
Okay,
because I think he is the most dominant player in the game. That's gets tons of attention.
I went offense, you went defense.
Yep, we're
like
mixing it up, and he's caught touchdowns.
Yes,
so he's what can't he do? We're
block
not sure.
Block kicks.
He's done it all. So I think J.J. Watt. I'm gonna call him the LeBron James of the NFL right now.
I did.
It's tough to not go with a quarterback though, right? Because what. It depends. What do you mean by LeBron James? That he gets all the attention, or is he the best player? What he does? Because Aaron Rodgers is, in my opinion, the best player in the NFL.
Right. I went with the diversity that LeBron James has with his ability to get to the hoop, his mid-range game. I know in the playoffs, questionable three-point shooting, but his ability to defend, so he can do it all. And I just thought the few running backs in the National Football League that are great with the ball in their hands as a runner. And another guy, what about Matt? I know he plays for the Chicago Bears, but Matt Forte, in some cases, should throw his hat in that mix with over 100 catches, last year, even though he's clearly stated he doesn't want to have to do that again. But a guy who's both a threat with the ball in his hands and a ball and out in routes in space as well.
Yeah, there are a lot of good threats. Matt Forte is a very good one. Le'Veon Bell is a very good one as well. So certainly a lot of people in the NFL that could fit that mold. Now, my buddy Ken Carmen, who's going to co-host the Mike Pettine show on the radio with me throughout the season on Thursday nights, talking about Terrell Pryor, saying right now he would put Terrell Pryor on the team right now as one of his top six wide receivers. I still think it's a long shot for Terrell Pryor, but if he – and people are talking about maybe putting Maley on practice squad – when you don't just get to put a guy on practice squad. Another team will take Vince Maley.
Right.
They would say, we get him for free, basically.
Yes.
That's not – Vince Maley's not going practice squad. And by the way, I like what I've seen out of Vince Maley.
I do as well.
Big, physical, and deceptively fast. Made a couple of big plays yesterday.
And the key difference between him and Terrell Pryor, he's played wide receiver his entire career. So he's ahead of that curve. He's refining his skills within this offense. So his growth is more mental than physical in the National Football League, whereas Terrell Pryor's is a little bit of both. Learning the system, even though I believe it was Taylor Gabriel or Andrew Hawkins giving him credit about he's a quarterback, so he knows where to line up. He knows what routes to run. There's no question with his responsibility. It's now the execution. Vince Maley just has had more time, more reps with executing routes as a wide receiver in college, and he's learning the NFL game. Now, when it comes to Terrell Pryor, if he does, in fact, make this team, I believe it continues to be a flyer mentality for the Cleveland Browns. And that means you have to be so strong and so so comfortable with the five guys in front of him that these are your playmakers, that these are the guys that are going to be called upon, as I consistently say to you, to Jason Gibbs, to someone standing next to me at practice, how many reps does a six wide receiver have on an NFL football team?
None.
10 or less, okay? So you're talking about this impact is so minute for a six wide receiver. What's intriguing is that the dual role of quarterback / wide receiver, special teams, where else can he make an impact? Because the impact he will make as a wide receiver, making this team or not, is small, whether it's here in Cleveland or somewhere else.
Do you think Brian Hartline and Terrell Pryor can both make this team?
No.
I don't either.
I don't.
I don't either. I think that if because Bo's making this team. Bo is clearly already a favorite of Josh Gunn. He's making this team. Hawk's making this team.
Yes.
Taylor Gabriel's making this team. And Vince Maley's making this team.
Correct.
And I would say that Hartline right now is a lock as well.
Yes.
Which is why we keep coming that sixth spot, being Pryor, being a Marlon Moore, being a Travis Benjamin. Now, some people are saying on my timeline right now that why wouldn't the Browns just keep seven wide receivers? Ray Farmer's saying he's going to keep the 53 best players on this team. But remember, when you're saying that and you're making your seventh wide receiver a specialist, you're basically saying that you want to have a sixth wide receiver who's not really going to play wide receiver and who's most likely not really going to play special teams either. That person's never going to be up.
And you're correct about that. And to your point, can you legitimately say that Pryor is your sixth best wide receiver? Not sixth best player in that room, but the sixth best wide receiver. If you're going by, because he continually has to show growth every day, and it gets even more real in those four preseason games. And for him, with where he's at on his depth chart,
sure,
just like we heard Jim Donovan want to see a lot of Johnny Manziel in the preseason games, we're going to see a lot of Terrell Pryor. Now, and I think that will be the difference maker. His growth in practice is going to be great, but his ability to transfer that from practice into the game and be a viable threat catching the ball from Thad Lewis, Connor Shaw, Johnny Manziel, or Josh McCown, if he can do that, the percentage continues to, you know, to push forward towards that 50-50 range. You know, but I'm right now still in that 30% range he makes the team.
In talking to some of my sources around the league, when you have a situation like this, and knowing Terrell Pryor and people who have observed him here in practice, they say probably 10 to 15% is probably the most realistic number right now. That number can obviously go up or down depending on how things go. But that this is not something...
This is not a shoe-in.
No.
Like everybody's making it out to be.
Yes, not a shoe-in at all. Not a shoo-in at all. All right, when we come back, we're going to give you our final thoughts here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Last chance for you to get your phone calls and any questions. Tweet us at Nathan Segura, at Browns _ Daily, at Matt Wilhelm 35, or call us up 216-578-0850. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford.